Hello. Welcome to everyone who's watching, listening online, everyone gathered here today. Every year, I normally spend the first few minutes of my sermon on the first Sunday of Advent embarking on a quixotic mission to implore you all not to start celebrating Christmas too early. You remember I say this every year. You ignore what I say every year. I'm a big believer in celebrating one holiday at a time. Don't get ahead of yourself. There's Halloween. There's Thanksgiving. There's Stretchy Pants Sunday, which is today. There's Festivus. And then there's Christmas. One holiday at a time, I always say. And then I remind you that Christian tradition has given us a means by which we can resist the urge to jump the gun on Christmas, and that is the season of Advent, the four Sundays leading up to Christmas Day. Advent is a time of preparation, of anticipation. Advent is a time where we focus on and dwell on the longing and the waiting. Advent is designed to prime our hearts so that we are ready to celebrate the coming of Christ on Christmas Day. Well, I'm not saying any of that this year. We put up our Christmas decorations weeks ago. For the past 9 months, we have all been waiting on something to celebrate. And so today, I'm not beginning an Advent series. This is a Christmas series. No, it's a Christmas series. Because right now, we need Mas Christ. I've been working on that for weeks. We need Mas Christ. We need more Christ in our hearts, in our homes, in our city, in our nation, in the world. And so for the next 4 weeks, I'm going to be teaching from the prologue to the Gospel of John, the first 18 verses of John chapter 1, helping us find some Mas Christ for Christmas. And if you've ever read through the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you know when you read John that he's playing an ancient version of the Sesame Street game. One of these kids is doing his own thing. Remember that one? One of these kids is not the same. Well, that's John. One writer has called John the Maverick Gospel. He's focused on Christ, just like all the other gospel writers are, but he tells his Christ story a bit differently, and this includes the Christmas story. The Gospel of Mark doesn't have any time for the Christmas story. He's in too big of a hurry, so he immediately jumps into the action. Jesus is baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River, and then he's in the wilderness being tempted, and then he begins his ministry. Matthew tells the Christmas story more from Joseph's perspective. Luke tells the Christmas story more from Mary's perspective. But John, he tells the Christmas story from more of a cosmic perspective. And so let's focus on the first five verses of the prologue in John chapter 1 this morning. I think I'm going to need some help today, Danelle. John 1, beginning in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all people. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So in these opening verses to his prologue, John makes several statements about the Word. And the word he uses in the original language for word is logos, from which we get the English word logic, but it's translated as word. And the term logos was pregnant, pun intended, this is a Christmas sermon, was pregnant with meaning in the Greco-Roman world. Thanks to Stoic philosophy, the logos was the principle of rationality. It was this idea of logic holding the world together and giving the world a sense of order. And according to the Stoics, the best way to live a meaningful life was to align your life with this rational principle. It was an impersonal principle, but a rational principle of logic. To go with the flow of logic, because to go against the flow of the logos was a recipe for disaster. And it's likely that a good number of John's original readers would have had that Stoic understanding of logos in the back of their minds when they read John's gospel. But John probably didn't have that Stoic idea at the front of his mind when he wrote these opening words. John's understanding of logos is not rooted in Greek philosophy, although you might, as you read through and develop a deeper understanding of Christ, you might see how Christ somehow captures the idea of the rational principle in the world, but that's not where John gets it from. John's understanding of logos is rooted in the Jewish scriptures, because John begins with the phrase, "in the beginning," which calls our attention to the first line of the first book in the Hebrew Scriptures, Genesis, which says, "In the beginning, God." John says, "In the beginning, Word." Genesis says, "In the beginning, God." And in the beginning, God created. And how did God create? God created by speaking. Genesis 1 tells us a story of how God speaks creation into existence. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. So throughout the Hebrew Scriptures, the Word of God is synonymous with God's creative power. Psalm 33:6 says, "By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth." God speaks and life happens. God speaks and things come into being. In the beginning was the Word. The Word of God, the Word that was God, the Word that was with God. And then in verse 2, when John says that the Word who was God was with God in the beginning, it's an echo of Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8 is the story of creation told from a bit different perspective. Wisdom is personified, and wisdom is there in the beginning with God at creation. We pick it up in Proverbs 8:27, and this is wisdom speaking. Wisdom says, "I was there when God set the heavens in place, when God marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when God established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when God gave the sea its boundary so the waters would not overstep God's command, and when God marked out the foundations of the earth." Wisdom says, "I was there for all of that. Then I was the artisan at God's side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing in God's presence, rejoicing in God's whole world, and delighting in the human race." So the Word of God is not only God's creative power, it's also God's creative genius. The Logos that was there in the beginning, synonymous with God's wisdom, that puts the world together, that holds the world together. The Logos is the architect and the artisan of creation, taking special delight in human beings. Now, John is not the only one to speak of Christ in this way. Paul does it, so does the writer of Hebrews. In Colossians 1, verse 15, Paul says, "The Son," speaking of Christ, "the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation." That's an echo again of Proverbs 8. "For in Christ," in Him, "all things were created." In Christ, all things came into existence. "Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together." And then Hebrews chapter 1. "In these last days God has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom also He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word." These descriptions of what some call the cosmic Christ, and I love that phrase, the cosmic Christ. These descriptions of the cosmic Christ add weight and gravity to what John will later say in his prologue in verse 14 when he says, the Word that was there in the beginning, the Word that was with God, the Word that is God, the Word through whom all things were created and are held together, that Word, the Word became flesh. Born as a baby. Grew up into a man, lived among us, walked with us, died for us, was raised ahead of us, ascended into heaven so that He could reign over us. Whereas John says, we've seen His glory. The Word became flesh and we have seen His glory. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Because what John says in verse 14 is actually just a restatement of what he's already said in verse 5. When he says, "The life-giving light that shines into the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it," that's Christ. It's Christ at the beginning, and it's Christ in the world. Christ comes into the world, resisted and rejected by the darkness. And yet Christ still wins. I need to hear this version of this Christmas story this year. John's version of the Christmas story does not begin with a dream where an angel appears to Joseph or to Mary. It begins in the beginning with the Word. And it begins in the beginning when the Word creates all things. John's Christmas story doesn't begin with the birth of Christ. It begins with the birth of the universe. It begins with the life-giving light that speaks and forms and creates and brings all things into existence. I love the particulars of the traditional Christmas story. I love all those details. You do too. The angels, the dreams, the shepherds, the star, the magi, Joseph, the protector, the righteous one, Mary, the willing, who says, "Let it be so," the little drummer boy, Dominic, the donkey, all of those details matter. But this year, I need to hear the cosmic Christmas story too. I need to be reminded that the cosmic Christ is big enough to contain our ever-expanding universe. And that there is nothing happening in this world that is beyond the reach of Christ, because Christ, the Word, the Logos, has been holding it all together in His hands from the very beginning. And so this year, before we cozy up to the Christ child, which we should and we will, let's first step back and stand in awe of the cosmic Christ. Before we celebrate the jaw-dropping miracle of the incarnation, that the Word became flesh and lived among us and walked among us, let's ponder the mystery that the world into which Christ entered has always been in Christ, in whom all things are created and held together. That we're never far from Christ because Christ has never been far from us. Paul says about God in Acts chapter 17, in whom we live and move and have our being. He's never far away. He's always been right there with us from the beginning. And the Christmas story is not a matter of us moving toward God or God moving toward us. It's just a matter of us waking up and seeing that Christ has always been in all things. And at a time when our world seems like it could blow apart along every religious, political, social, racial, national fault line imaginable, let's remember that Christ has been holding it together from the very beginning. And more than that, He's creating something new within it. This is why I think John links his story of Christ to Genesis. He wants us to know from the very beginning that this story he's telling is a creation story. It's a new creation story. And the God who created the whole world enters the world to create something new. This is the Christ Mass story I need to hear this year. That the same light that tamed the darkness of chaos in Genesis 1 and brought forth everything into existence is still shining into the darkness of this world. And the darkness has not, will not, cannot overcome it. As it was in the beginning, so it is now. So it shall ever be. World without end. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, may we take comfort and find courage in the Christ Mass story this year. May the Spirit of God open our eyes so that we can see more of Christ. May the Spirit of God open our ears so that we can hear more of Christ in all things. And to that end, let's stand and let's recite part of this prayer. We read it almost every year during Advent. Part of this prayer known as St. Patrick's Breastplate. Let's read this out loud together. Christ be with me, Christ within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beside me, Christ to win me, Christ to comfort and restore me. Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ in quiet, Christ in danger, Christ in hearts of all that love me, Christ in mouth, a friend and stranger.